meeting Jesus, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. Well, may I add my welcome to Ayla's. Great to see you back in Fordham Church after the repair work. Let's pray as we come to think about this wonderful Bible passage. Heavenly Father, we seek your help now, the help of your Holy Spirit, to give us understanding of your word. Please bring its meaning alive in our hearts. And would you give us grace to see more of Jesus and to love him more. Amen. So our focus through Lent has been on encounters with Jesus in John's Gospel. And in this series, we're considering, what was it like for the people who met Jesus? How did he impact them? And what do these encounters teach us about knowing Jesus today? This sermon is the last in the series before we turn our attention to Easter and focus on Jesus' own death and resurrection. But today's Bible reading is about the death and resurrection of Lazarus, showing us that the subject of believing in Jesus is worthy of our attention. Have a think about the fundamental enemies that people face in life, the difficulties that we face around the world: hunger, illness, isolation, limited education, inability to earn a living. The enemy that trumps all these things is death. And it's so much a defeater of human existence that we just often don't even think of it in that way. People avoid talking about it. Death is the ultimate foe. And this is the case in our modern day experience, just as much as it was in the first century when John wrote this short book about Jesus. And because of this, John's account of Jesus' relationship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus still speaks today. It's just as relevant now as it was back then, because death remains the number one problem. It speaks at the most profound level to the impending death that we all face. It's therefore a story of universal significance. Jesus was and remains about death and life. In John's Gospel, the miracles that Jesus performs increasingly grow in wonder. All of them are amazing, but they increase in magnitude. So the first miracle in John's Gospel, changing the water into wine at the Cana wedding, well, that was amazing. But feeding the 5,000 from a single lunchbox was even more so. Then the giving of sight to a man born blind. Well, who could do such a thing? Wonderful. But the raising of Lazarus in today's chapter tops them all. A dead man coming back to life. How amazing is that? At this point, we're halfway through John's account of Jesus' life. And this resurrection of Lazarus points forward to God's greatest miracle, the raising of his son, Jesus, to life after his crucifixion. So the miracles get more wonderful as we move through John's Gospel. Last week, Paul Southern unpacked Jesus' healing of the man born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus did it by spitting on the ground, making some mud with his saliva, and putting it on the man's eyes. Then when the man washed the mud off, he could see for the first time. It was an amazing miracle in Jesus' day. Think of the blessing for that man himself and for his family. It would have changed his life. And it would still be amazing if somebody were to do that today. For us, it's a sign telling us to pay attention to Jesus. The healing of the blind man was wonderful, but the raising of Lazarus was even more wonderful. Jesus brings his friend back to life 4 days after he died. So let's look to learn from John chapter 11. And do have that Bible passage open in front of you. It's on page 1077. Now, is this on the blink? I'm just catching it out of the corner of my eye. Is it working now? Let's see if my clip is working. Great. So I've got a structure of three headings to take us through this talk. Firstly, let's look at Jesus' friendship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. These two sisters and a brother were friends of Jesus. In verse 5, John tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Lazarus becomes ill, and Martha and Mary send Jesus a message saying, verse 3, "The one you love is sick." So there's a close bond between Jesus and these three siblings. They lived in Bethany, not so far from Jerusalem. And let's see if I've got a laser pointer on this. Oh, yes, I have. They live in Bethany, so a little bit blurry, but here's Jerusalem, and then there's Bethany just nearby. They lived in Bethany, and the way that John writes suggests that Mary and Martha were well known at the time when he wrote the gospel. So John's writing the gospel sometime after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and it seems that at that point, Martha and Mary were well known. Mary was famous for the event where she poured perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. In fact, in John's account of Jesus' life, this event, this hair perfume event, hasn't happened yet in the story. And John records it in chapter 12, just after the chapter that we're looking at. But he was helping the readers of his day to get a focus on who Mary and Martha were. So we get this brief picture and details pointing to the close relationship with this family. The sisters send a message to Jesus, wanting him to come and heal Lazarus. They already very much believe in Jesus' healing power. But very interestingly for us, Jesus doesn't go immediately. He delays, staying where he is for 2 more days. Jesus waits until Lazarus has died before he leaves for Bethany. And he declares to his disciples in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And verse 14, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Now, this comes across as rather unusual. Even perhaps you might think a little callous. Jesus loves this family. Why doesn't he go immediately to help them? And it's because he has a greater plan. When he arrives in Bethany, Jesus finds that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha goes out to greet him, and then a little later, Mary goes out to greet him as well. And when Jesus sees her weeping and the other mourners as well weeping, he's deeply moved in spirit. Jesus is troubled, and he himself starts to cry. He weeps. Verse 35, Jesus wept. The watching crowd declares, "See how he loved him." Now, this is very interesting. Jesus loved this family. They were his friends. He knows that he will be able to bring Lazarus back to life. He knows that Lazarus will be alive again this very day. And yet, Jesus is empathetically caught up in the grief of the moment. Jesus is troubled at the pain death brings, even though he knows that in just a few hours, maybe, he's going to bring Lazarus back to life. So think about what this shows us about Jesus. We might think that because of his divine power and his foreknowledge, that he'd be matter of fact about Lazarus's death. But no, it's not like that. He's still a man of compassion with these two sisters that he loves. And he is moved to tears by their grief. This shows us something wonderful about Jesus' character, which makes him more attractive to us. So we've briefly considered Jesus' relationships with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Let's focus now on the purpose of Lazarus's death and resurrection. And this is my second heading for today. The purpose of Lazarus's death and resurrection. Jesus is quite specific that Lazarus's illness has a purpose. It will be for the glory of God. Please look at verse 4. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So the purpose of Lazarus's death and returning to life is that God would be glorified, and specifically that God's Son, that's Jesus, might be glorified through it. And this is why Jesus didn't hurry to Bethany immediately upon getting the message. He delayed because a great wonder is going to come out of their grief. Jesus goes with Mary and Martha to their brother's tomb. It was a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Take away the stone, says Jesus. But Martha protests. By this time, there'll be a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Jesus' command seems offensive to the grieving family. It'll bring shame on them to do such a thing. But Jesus replies, verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? There it is again. Jesus gives the purpose of Lazarus' death, that Martha and Mary and all who were present would see the glory of God in action. Who can turn water into wine? Who can feed 5,000 from a single picnic? Who could give sight to a man born blind? All these things are signs pointing to the glory of God in Jesus, pointing to him being the Son of God. And then Jesus calls in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And from a simple verbal command, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. It is an epic event. Try and imagine it if you can. Try and let it sink in. The pain that Martha and Mary felt is now forgotten in the wonder and the joy. Their brother has been restored to them. And we see how much it meant to them in the next chapter of John's Gospel. Sometime later, Jesus returns to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. And they give a dinner in Jesus' honor. Martha serves the meal. Lazarus is reclining at the table. And Mary takes a pint of expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. Then she wipes his feet with her hair, and the house is filled with the fragrance. This is a thank you dinner to honor Jesus for bringing Lazarus back to life. Mary's extravagant thank you shows her deep gratitude for what Jesus has done. The purpose of Lazarus's death and resurrection was to give glory to God and to glorify Jesus, God's Son, through it. That's the first purpose. But there is a second one which follows on from it, that we might believe in Jesus. And this is my third and final point for today. The invitation to believe. The word believe runs through John's Gospel as a constant theme, appearing over 80 times in a short book. And today's reading, believe, appears 6 times. Indeed, at the end of the Gospel, John gives belief as his purpose in recording all Jesus' miraculous signs in the book. We could have the next slide, Ben. There we go. John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The purpose of John writing his gospel was to help people through the centuries, throughout the world, including here in Essex, to believe in Jesus. And we still have John's gospel today. Here it is, in our hands. It's been published over and over again in multiple languages so that people from all nationalities can believe. Next week, we'll have mission partners Sandy and Kirsten Russell here with us. And part of their work is to see the Bible translated into the Sorani Kurdish language. John's gospel was written to help the world believe in Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples at the beginning of today's chapter, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. The purpose of Jesus' resurrection was that Jesus' first disciples might believe. And note that at this point, they are already Jesus' disciples, and yet they still need to believe. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Belief in Jesus is a growing thing with many aspects to it that develop through our engagement with Jesus and through our lives. And then we get Jesus' amazing declaration and promise to Martha. Please have a look at verse 23. Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" The resurrection of the dead back to life isn't just an event that's going to happen in the future, when God judges the world on the last day. Jesus himself is the resurrection. In who he is, in his body. The resurrection will happen because of who Jesus is, the Son of God. And in the resurrection of Lazarus is a sign to the whole human race, a sign ahead of time, demonstrating Jesus' power and authority to bring the dead back to life. Jesus has the power to defeat humanity's greatest enemy, the problem of death. If he did it to Lazarus, then we have a basis for trusting his promise that he can do it for us. This is a promise for the whole human race. Please look with me at verse 26 and note that word, whoever. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Lazarus's resurrection is an invitation to believe in Jesus and his resurrection life through him. And it's open to whoever, to you and to me. It wasn't just for first century Jewish people. It wasn't just for Martha that he was speaking to in that moment. It's for people of any race, male and female, young and old, from any religious background, those who are wealthy, those who are struggling to get by. Will you accept Jesus' invitation to his resurrection life? From Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' dinner, we see that believing in Jesus isn't just an intellectual answer to an exam question. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Tick. No, it's not like that. They honored Jesus with the dinner and with the expensive perfume because they loved Jesus. They were filled with wonder at Jesus and what he'd done for them. So it is a wonderful thing to come and believe in Jesus. This is because Jesus himself is wonderful. It's all about him. The resurrection is in him and comes from him. So we celebrate and rejoice that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is why we worship him. This is why we pray to him. This is why we are a community formed around him, which meets together each week. So the purpose of Lazarus's resurrection, and indeed the purpose of John's book, is to help us to believe in Jesus, and through believing, to live even though we die. Will you accept this invitation to believe and to receive eternal life in Jesus' name? Well, let's pray together. I'll give you a moment of quiet to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing sign that Lazarus is to us. We recognize Jesus' great power to speak life into the dead. Please would you help each of us by your Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus as your Son. And we ask that we will be born of your Spirit so that we may live even though we die. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.